Good morning to each of you. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have assembled to worship our God together. And hope that as we engage in that, that you'll be encouraged from God's word, that we'll continue to do his will. And at the end of our service to him, that we'll be with him in eternity. And that should be, and I hope that that is your goal in life, to serve the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look at a few things in reference to this particular chapter and verses, especially as we deal with our theme this year in reference to living victoriously in Christ. And as we had looked at these verses, as Paul points out, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And he points out, for we are the fragrance of Christ the God among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. And then he says, to the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life, and who is adequate for these things. And as we said, the theme comes from those verses there of living victoriously in Christ. We had talked about the first part of verse 14, and we looked at the impact of what that statement is, and that we have learned that it addresses the certainty of God's direction and the certainty of his accomplishment. And as we follow him, we too will be victorious, because that's what he's doing. He is leading us in triumph. This morning, I would like to begin to deal with the second part of verse 14. And as you see there, verse 14, the second part, really points out a lot of stuff that we can talk about this year in reference to these passages, because in that second part that is pointed out in verse 14, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. The context of these verses of chapter 2 has to deal with what Paul is doing, is writing this letter to the Corinthian brethren. And what he's doing is urging them to affirm their love for the one that they had disciplined in that first letter as he instructed them. And here he's saying, you confirm your love for that individual. And how do you confirm your love? By affirming your forgiveness towards him. Not only your forgiveness, but also to take, not allow Satan to take advantage of what has taken place in their disciplining this brother who was conducting himself in an ungodly way. And then he points out how he went to Troas. And to read that background, you can go to Acts chapter 16. And when you go to Acts chapter 16, you'll see where Paul does go to Troas. He is basically in the third journey of strengthening the churches. And so it is there that he receives the Macedonian vision, urging him to come and preach the gospel there. And he does when he goes. He doesn't find Titus. They had a very close relationship, especially as Paul had even taken him to Jerusalem and defended Titus, because Titus was a Greek. And they had this relationship. And so his spirit is troubled because he couldn't find Titus. But anyway, he goes. And the reason why he goes, he says there was a door of opportunity that had opened. And so he's taking that opportunity to go. Sometimes in life, we have our plans. And sometimes they don't work out the way that we think they should, or as we have planned. Sometimes it takes us down a different course. And as we take that different course, we see God's wisdom or infinite wisdom in that course, because it gives you an opportunity perhaps to reach someone who needs to hear the truth. And so a lot of times we do get a little bit frustrated about that. But I want to encourage us, and I need to be reminded of these things as well. I need to calm down and recognize That God is still with us. As long as I am doing His will, as long as I am living as I should, because in that passage, Paul says, in reference to not only is God leading them in triumph, but He's also manifesting through them the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. And I believe that's a very important lesson for us as he writes this. That no matter where you go, as long as you are following God, you're going to be led in triumph. And so this morning, as we begin to look at some of these thoughts, I titled the lesson, I told Trevor asked, what's the title of your lesson? I said, living victoriously in life. And then as, you know, you continue to study and prepare these things, it takes on a different title itself. And so I started seeing that angle, and I decided to go ahead and title the lesson that a title that you and I may be familiar with and we have heard lessons about, and that is letting our light shine. You see, that's another way of expressing God manifesting Himself through us. That we give off the fragrance and the aroma of Christ. Granted, as Paul writes this, he's talking about the apostles and prophets as they are being led by the Spirit in the preaching of the gospel. As Jesus even promised there in John chapter 16 and verse 15. How they were going to be led and guided into all truth. But it's also applicable for us. Now, why do I say that? The reason why it is applicable to us is because of several things that we can read in scriptures about our Lord Himself. For instance, when you and I look over in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It is there that John writes about Jesus and he says, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Other translations, like the new, as the King James Version puts it, overpower it. Light will always dominate darkness. And our Lord's life is light. That shines in the darkness. So that others can see what this is all about. But what is interesting, as Jesus even taught on the Sermon on the Mount, John describes Him as this in which He is. And further goes on to say that He is the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, notice how those of us who would follow the Christ and attach ourselves to Him, manifesting God, we are called light. In those verses, Jesus says that not only are they, we salt, He says, you are the salt of the earth. And then He comes back and says in verse 14 here of John, of Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way, notice, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says God manifests through us the knowledge of Him in every way, in every place, Paul is saying, we're letting our light shine. We're teaching the truth. We're teaching about Jesus, who is the true light. That's what He's doing. It's because of what Jesus taught. And so as the apostles and prophets are manifesting God in the way that they live, in the preaching of the gospel, so do we, and so can we do the same. And at the same process, understand, as we're doing this, we're being led in triumph. In the upcoming times, in the near future, especially this year. And when I talk about no apologies, No apologies for what God has revealed in His Word. And we follow it. Yeah. So that we can adhere to these things and continue to grow in them so that we'll be pleasing God and therefore continue to be led in triumph as He's pointing out there. And you may look at their lives and the things that they were challenged with. I'm talking about the apostles and prophets. And you may say, are they really being led in triumph? Yes, they are. And so are we when it comes to these things. You see, living victoriously in Christ and letting our light shine is a twofold process. A twofold process. So that means it's going to be a short lesson, right? Because it's a twofold. The first fold process of this in connection to manifesting God in the knowledge of Him everywhere, as the King, I like the way the King James Version puts it. He says diffuses there. Diffuses. And I also like the description. A sweet aroma. The sweet aroma is giving off the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Him in everywhere that we go and we live. Just to show you how important this is, in the first fold, I titled that, say, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. This is so important because our society, a lot of folks don't know about God. A lot of. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it is there where Hosea points out the prophet, guided by the Spirit as he's prophesying concerning this whole scenario of what he's involved with. God says through the prophet that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that lack of knowledge came from them rejecting God. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, and that is the knowledge of Him, the knowledge, even the covenant that God had made with Israel, when you go back to Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, and also in Numbers as well. But when you look back at those verses or those books, what you see is God giving instructions to Israel, guidance of how they were to be when they got into the land of promise and maintaining this relationship with Him so that they would be lights to the Gentiles. And here in Hosea, they had forgotten all of that. The parents were failing to teach their children about these things. And when they heard them, and when they were told about them, they rejected them. And God says, because you rejected me, that's why you're going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge of knowing who I am and what I require of you. And He says, I also reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. That lack of knowledge affects the next generation. That's the point. And if we don't share the gospel and teach about the gospel, what's going to happen is the next generation is not going to know God. They're going to be destroyed, and the world is going to begin to define terms and concepts. And when we look at our society, and society is defining what life is, look at some of the hideous things that they are doing in our society, because they are defining what's life. They're even defining what's a human being. Yeah. And in particular about abortion. Two human beings, male and female. Man and woman, husband, wife. When the wife conceives, what is she going to bear? She's going to bear another human being. And our society is defining these terms and concepts because there is a lack of knowledge of these things that God reveals in His Word. And even they talk about adhering to science and listening to science, and they deny it while they tell you to listen to science. And that's the reality. They begin to define these things. We need to go back to God and allow God to define what things are. And when the gospel is taught, that's exactly what's going on. God is defining what sin is. And as God defines what sin is, and we adhere to what God says, we can avoid being destroyed. And that's what we're seeing here. That's why it's important in this two-phase process of letting our light shine comes with sharing the gospel. Learning God's will. Learning about who He is, what He requires of us. When we are learning from God, our lives are going to be set back on the right path. And that path, we are being led in victory, you see. The world wants us to get off the path by its definition of terms and concepts. Its path is towards the road of destruction. God's path is the path of victory, triumph. That's why they are manifesting the knowledge of God, the sweet aroma everywhere. And so here is the apostle going to Macedonia. What is he going to do? He's going to be sharing the gospel where many souls are hearing it and their lives are being changed and converted to the Christ. Their lives are on this path of victory. So sharing the gospel is letting our light shine. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17, where it talks about the gospel message, this faith, the system of teaching, is a message in verse 12. In these verses, it's a message of the knowledge of hope. So many people are in despair, feeling hopeless because of the things that are going on in our society. Not knowing who to believe, what to believe. But with the knowledge of God, then you'll know what to believe. You'll know who to follow. And you'll be following on that right path. So Romans chapter 10, and looking at what the apostle expresses in those verses, is passages that we need to keep in mind as he's pointing these things out to these brethren and showing how important for the sharing of the gospel. He says in verse 11, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." I like that phrase. You won't be disappointed when it comes to the truth. You will not be ashamed of it because it will be what is right. And when you're following what's right, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And in the case here, as he's pointing out to these brethren, and as we're reading these things, we too will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. That is reaching those who are in despair. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, I want to know what God requires of me. And as we follow what God says, we will be led to salvation, which is the path of victory as we continue to walk in the way and light of the Lord. And he says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. A lot of folks don't know about this. And here's God telling us these things are recorded so that we can know. It is not only a message of hope and the knowledge of hope, but it is how faith in God is acquired. As the apostle says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, the Lord, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So sharing the gospel is letting our light shine and living victoriously in Christ. Because we believe the message and what it presents, what it contains. And the results of obedience to it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14 there. It is there that the apostle brings to the attention of the brethren there at Ephesus about this message. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. He says, for the equipping of the saints. That's why sharing the gospel is important. For equipping the saints for the work of service there. Verse 12. Verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The teachings of God. The teachings of Christ. And the knowledge of the Son of God. To a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It makes us complete. And then you get down to verse 14 about, as a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. And there are a lot of them. And one of the things that was pointed out in the context of 2 Corinthians 2, where Paul talks about so that Satan would not take advantage of their what they had done in disciplining that brother. He says, because we are aware of his schemes. They're many. And so what sharing the gospel does, it brings stability. That's what he's pointing out there in verse 14. Remember, as even the context or in the verse itself of verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2 talks about the certainty of God's direction. Same thing expressed here in verse 14 about teaching his will. So sharing the gospel is so important. Yeah, here's going back to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 through 19. In the expression of that passage there, we can trust this. We can trust this message. It's important that we trust it. That we learn what it says. That we become, it becomes us. And as we learn what it says, as we are studying on our Wednesday night Skype classes, Bible study, there, we're studying 1 Peter, and I'll have a quote from there as well. But in 2 Peter, and looking at chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, notice in reference to the words that have been taught, these men, Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of this account. Not only are we eyewitnesses, notice what he said, we heard the majestic voice. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp, notice, shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. You will be able to see and realize what is the true reality of life. The true reality of life is being led by God in triumph. And the ultimate victory is eternal life with Him. That's the ultimate reality. And so we share the gospel so this happens, so that people come out of the arena of destruction and condemnation, out of the arena of despair, and get on this path of victory that God provides and is leading the way in. What else? Here's the second process. And that's living the gospel. This is where the challenge is. And if you notice in the latter parts of 2 Corinthians 14 and then the following verses has to deal with really living the gospel. Living the gospel everywhere. Not only preaching the gospel everywhere, but living. Wherever we go, that is a challenge. There's no doubt. Because there are certain places we can go, or we go in life, and sometimes we go to places that we may not know anyone, and it becomes challenging for us. That's what the apostle did. He said he went on into Macedonia. He couldn't find Titus. His spirit is troubled, but remember, the door is open. And what does he do? He goes there and he preaches the gospel and souls are saved. And for us, wherever we go, may we have that mentality as well. And there are going to be some anxious moments and places, well, I don't know anyone. But what's important is, do you know God? The songs that we sing, one of the songs, anywhere with Jesus, I will safely go. You see, that's the mentality we are to have, is wherever we go, if we're going in the name of the Lord, if we're living victoriously in Christ, we're letting our light shine, we're living the gospel, we are safe wherever we go. Because that message is needed no matter where you are. That is living victoriously. When we're able to do this. And I'm not standing up here telling you I'm perfect in it. No, not in it. I stumble. And we pray for each other. And we work together to move forward in following the Christ. Because we're being led in triumph. We're being led in victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. Where the apostle writes to the Corinthian brethren, and in writing to the Corinthian brethren and pointing out there of how they were bought with a price, and being bought with a price, they belong to God. And he goes on and he says, flee, verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In other words, manifest. Make it apparent. Make it known. Reveal that you are living under the direction of God. That's what the apostles, and in particular what Paul is writing about, And in doing that, we're letting our light shine. That means we're living victoriously. And that's what we're seeing in these passages here. Here's another passage in connection to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know what the apostle is dealing with there? He says, in the aspect of giving. Yeah. The attitude and the efforts of encouraging these brethren in their giving in reference to the work of God, not only in the work of God, breaks down to helping our brethren. And so there in chapter 9, verses 10 through 15, I want you to notice, in living the gospel in this aspect of giving, as the apostle is bringing to their attention, it didn't matter your status in life. And that's what was shown here in these chapters here in reference to giving. There were brethren who were poor, but they gave. And so in chapter 9, verse 10 through 15, they gave to help their brethren. They wanted to participate. They wanted to be a part. Why? Because they were thankful to God of what God had done for them and to them. And so in verse 10, he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Your right way of doing things, and that's following his will. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. You see how that's manifesting God, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We can do this. We can live the gospel. We can. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to whom? To God. What an impact of living the gospel. What an impact of sharing and living the gospel here. Because of the proof given by the ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. These brethren, their lives were changed. And Paul is telling them, this is what happens when you adhere. When you live the gospel in giving and helping your brethren, this is what happens. You're letting your light shine. And it leads to thanksgiving to God. For you, of what you're doing. How blessed we are to serve an awesome God. As I mentioned, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Here, as we have been studying on Wednesday night, what is Christianity about? And one of the things that you see of what Christianity is about, not only the sharing of the gospel, but also living the gospel, they go together. In verses 11 and 12, the apostle says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. It does. It wages war against the soul. And then he says, keep your behavior excellent. In other words, harmonious. Harmonious with what? The teachings of Christ. If you keep it harmonious with the teachings of Christ, it's going to be excellent. I'm saying it's easy. But it's going to be pleasing to the Lord as we strive and take the necessary steps to make things right. Yeah. And if you keep it harmonious with excellence or with God, he says, among the Gentiles, so that means purpose, so that this is cause and effect, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, your godly deeds, your godly way, following godly teaching, following God, the knowledge of him, manifesting, giving off that aroma, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amazing. You see, God is always right. And it is you and I who sometimes fail. But God is there to forgive us as we strive to live that gospel that we are sharing. In fact, what happens when someone acts like they know it all and that they're perfect? How do you react to that? It's kind of a put-off, isn't it? But when you have folks that make mistakes and say, look, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But our God doesn't. He's always right. And I want to encourage you to join me in worshiping and serving him. We're brethren. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can be. And we can work and serve God together. Giving off the aroma of a knowledge of him, that we serve a God who forgives and has provided a way that you and I can be forgiven through the gospel. How awesome is that? So, living victoriously in Christ and letting our light shine is about sharing the gospel, living the gospel. Isn't that simple? That's simple enough, isn't it? It's the details where the challenge comes in. But we can do it. And we have. And we can continue. We can excel. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word that guides us. We thank you, Lord, that we can manifest the knowledge of you everywhere we go. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. Help us, Lord, to live up to the things that you require of us. Forgive us of our shortcomings and help us to grow even stronger and be a light to this world, helping those who are in need of you, showing them that you are leading us in triumph because of the Christ, and that they too can be a part of the victory as they hear of who you are and what you require of them and respond in faith, that they too will share in the victory that you provide. Thank you for your mercy and loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, all things are ready. We're here to help. You know, the message is that man is separated from a holy God. And what separated him was he sinned. And now we're in the arena of the wrath of God. But because of God's grace in the death of Christ, we can now rejoin him. We can be on his side as he leads us to victory. And what is required of us is for us to have faith in him, to repent of our sins, and then to confess him as Lord, and then be buried with him in baptism, And then as we are buried with him in baptism and are raised up out of the water, we are forgiven, we are united, we are being saved, we have hope, and as we continue to follow him, we have victory. And I hope that that is your desire. And if we can help you and assist you in that, if you've gotten off the path and want to return before it's everlasting too late, we're here to help. We're here to assist. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. I hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity that the Lord gives to all of us to become children of his and to be with him throughout eternity. So if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.